The Point Radio.
Hey, it's Mike Rodd. Trista Sutter stumbled into the world of reality television over 11 years ago. From The Bachelorette to Dancing with the Stars to a new project, we talk about how reality TV turned her world completely around. Plus, Greg Poehler talks about having a famous sister and a new TV series that debuts in two continents. Let's get to The Point.
This is The Point. The Point Radio. Get The Point Radio.
It's been almost a dozen years since Trista Sutter encountered the world of reality television. Starring in The Bachelorette and later on appearing on Dancing with the Stars, Trista has a new project on the way. But I was curious about the contrast in her life now and what it was like before she got into reality TV. She explained.
Yeah, well, the differences are immense. Before I was on The Bachelor, which was, you know, one of the very first reality shows, and no one, including myself, knew what I was getting into. I mean, I was sitting on my couch watching Extra one night in Miami after work, and they came on talking about this new reality show, and I had watched Real World and Road Rules and thought, you know, this could be fun. I'm kind of in a rut, not super happy, and maybe it could be an exciting change. And so I applied, and, you know, lo and behold, they wanted to have me on the show, and then it turned into The Bachelorette and our wedding and then Dancing with the Stars and, you know, all of that. So my life has completely changed in that people know me. You know, people constantly come up to me and say, how do I know you? You know, did we go to college together? Because we haven't been on television for, you know, in a while. We pick and choose what we want to do and keep our life relatively private. And, you know, it's something that is really interesting to me, the phenomenon of reality TV. Obviously, the world of social media has changed the world as we know it, and people can be pretty cruel. And so I tend to protect. I'm the mama bear of the family, and consistently in protecting my kids, but also my husband. You know, he hates the cameras, hates anything having to do with the media or red carpets or anything like that. So I usually kind of try to take the reins because he hates doing it. So people, you know, look at me as someone who's more controlling when that's not actually the case. It's actually more that I'm just trying to be protective. And obviously he's fine with it because he wants me to kind of take the reins in those situations. But, you know, it's changed my life in that people know my name, people know my story, and I'm, you know, it's a good story. I'm proud of it. I'm proud that to show people that love can happen in crazy ways. It doesn't have to be, you know, the traditional blind date or meeting at church or meeting at work. You know, it can be just open your eyes and you can, you know, maybe meet someone who could make you happy for the rest of your life. So I'm proud of our story. I am incredibly happy with my life. I just wrote a book about gratitude. And although it's not all about my life, you know, I share stories about how gratitude can make you happier and kind of sharing our secrets to marriage. So life is really good. It's been in the public eye, but I'm happy to share my life if it helps other people through things. You know, people reached out to me and said, thank you for writing your book because it helped me through the death of my father, or my husband just lost his job. You know, it helped me embrace a new attitude. And so if I'm able to have that kind of platform where I can speak to people, you know, I don't have a million followers like, you know, or however many Kim Kardashian has, you know, like, I don't have a million followers on Twitter. But I do have followers, and I think that just being able to have that opportunity to actually reach people and relate to people and help them through hard times is really powerful, and I'm grateful for it.
The new show is called Marriage Boot Camp. It's on WE TV, and it also stars Gretchen Rossi, formerly on The Real Housewives of Orange County. And Gretchen explained what the new show is all about.
Well, for Slade and I, Marriage Boot Camp, I mean, they approached us to do the show, and Slade and I saw it as a great opportunity to show Slade and I in a different light than what the audience has seen of us from the last, you know, 5 years that we had been on TV. You know, Housewives was really all about you know, kind of tearing women down, and it just was a format that was no longer something that I was enjoying. And so when Marriage Bootcamp came along, we did a lot of, you know, thoughtful consideration before we decided to do it. But the truth is that Slate and I are very happy and we very much are in love, but we knew that life happens. And sometimes when life happens, it's smart to go into dealing with those situations with life skills. And a lot of people don't realize that Marriage Boot Camp is a real camp that happens with these counselors outside of production and cameras. These counselors have this camp that happens in different cities around the country, and people come there all the time and they get help. And we wanted to go on the show and, you know, explore some of the issues that we were having and learn how to deal with them better. The show is very hard. It's very challenging. A lot of us cry a lot during it. They really push you to go to emotional states of mind that you really, you know, not even sure that you can go there. But we're in the fifth episode right now. It airs on Friday nights on Wii at 9. But it is really a very interesting dynamic to see some of your favorite stars or celebrity reality stars on a show where they're challenged to just, you know, go to a completely different level than you've seen them in most of the shows that you've watched before.
You can check out Marriage Boot Camp every Friday on WE TV and see a lot more of you may have missed right now at WEtv.com. Go with the latest in pop culture. Could be a big summer at Archie Comics. They've announced a relaunch and a rebranding of their longtime superhero imprint, Red Circle Comics. It's now called Dark Circle Comics, with a bunch of new titles that are said to be announced. The plans call for different genres, including crime and superhero comics, and some will even be creator-owned properties as well. The titles will be announced officially before Comic-Con. The 66th annual Primetime Emmy nominations took a little bit of a step toward the future by recognizing digital in almost the biggest way they ever have in the past. Nominations included 31 for Netflix programming, and for Crackle, a nomination for Jerry Seinfeld's Comedians in Cars Getting Coffee. That listed in the Outstanding Special Class Short Format Nonfiction Program category. From Funny or Die, Zach Galifianakis' interview with President Obama was also nominated. Another familiar name from the DC Universe is making the way to television. Firestorm will be included at some point in the first season of the CW series Flash. He'll be played by Robbie Amell, who's the brother of Stephen Amell, who is Arrow on the other show on the CW. Previously, Robbie was the star of the CW series The Tomorrow People. Been a good week for author James Patterson. We told you earlier about his new thriller, Zoo, that's been picked up, directed series by CBS, and now Netflix will also air episodes of that, along with the other CBS summer series, Under the Dome and Extant. In addition to that, Patterson's young adult series, Maximum Ride, it looks like it's headed to YouTube for a miniseries based on that project. No word yet on exactly when that may happen, though. Well, they've already killed him, so now they'll just retire him. Captain America will be replaced in a story arc that's already about ready to begin and will continue with a huge issue set to be in stores in October. The story arc already in play has Steve Rogers losing the super soldier serum that made him Captain America and forced to choose a successor. That story begins in number 23, and then the big issue, number 25, will feature a number of variant covers, including ones by Steve McNiven and Adam Hughes, and that'll be in stores in October. In a never-ending stream of marketing for the next Sharknado movie, Sci-Fi is bringing it to both video games and books. Sharknado the video game, designed after the Infinite Runner genre game, will be available for the iPad, the iPhone, and the iPod Touch coming up at the end of the month. And then How to Survive a Sharknado and Other Unnatural Disasters is a book written by humor writer Andrew Schaefer, and it's on sale right now on Amazon. NBC comedy Welcome to Sweden has a pretty extensive backstory. It was created and written by Greg Poehler. Yes, that's Amy's brother. And in addition to being in the U.S., it was also commissioned by Sweden's TV4 as that network's first ever English-speaking comedy series. Greg stars in the show with actress Josephine Bornebusch, who also has joined Greg in writing episodes as well. Now, for Greg, it was his first time in front of the camera as an actor. And for Josephine, she had to tackle acting in a second language. So how tough was it for both of those to bring their characters to life?
Well, I mean, for me, my character was based on myself, so it wasn't as challenging. I tried to make it as non-challenging as possible, since it was my first time acting. So I tried to make my character as close to me as possible, just to make that transition easier. I think Emma's character, I mean, Josie can talk about this, but I think that also has a lot of elements of you in it. Wouldn't you say that?
Yeah, we tried to, find some fun tweak on her, but then you said, in the writer's room, you were like, okay, let's go for just be yourself. Try to be yourself, and that's what I did. But it's harder than you think to act, when someone
like
says,
you?
Okay, act like you're like you. It's like, whoa, okay. But I guess it became all right in the end.
I mean, what we try to do is to make the two, because the other kind of secondary characters are a little more over the top or kind of funnier. And I really, the show really is about these two main characters, and it depends on the audience kind of rooting for them and rooting for their relationship. And so we kind of purposely made the two main characters kind of, we pulled them back a bit and made them a little bit more kind of sane and normal and realistic. And
you think?
Well, I'm not sure if that describes us so much in real life, but yeah, I mean, hopefully they're the kind of like the normal kind of center of this weird universe.
Even with a famous sister, Greg experienced a few challenges getting the project underway.
No, I think it was for me, it was kind of a struggle throughout to try to convince people that I could do it. When I originally wrote the script, I wanted to do it. I just didn't think anybody would kind of let me do it. And then when I pitched the idea to the Swedish producers, they kind of assumed that I would be playing the role. So it was kind of a weird situation in that sense. And we did have some what do you call it? Auditions, like taped auditions, when we were auditioning the Emma character, including Josephine's audition. And I learned subsequently that they were actually taping those to watch me as well. I thought they were just for the other role.
With the series, both in the U.S. and in Sweden, with different cultures, I asked Greg if there was any difference in the versions.
Yeah, I mean, there's no censorship here whatsoever. So the Swedish version was a little bit raunchier, I would say. Not so much. There's not so much difference between the two versions, but just language-wise and some nudity had to be cut out. And yes, they subtitle the English parts into Swedish. So basically all of their TV is subtitled, so it's no big deal for them.
So in writing a show like this, is the comedy funny in both countries? Are the same things making people laugh? Or was it difficult keeping a balance in what they wrote?
Not really, but we've been writing the scripts together, and it's been hard to write for both U.S. market and the Swedish market, I think, because we don't know about, the people we think are icons in the U.S., you're like, what happened with him? He's long gone now. And then you have so many new stars that you joke around about, but we don't even know them. So it's more the people, I think. Well, what do you say, Greg?
Yeah, I mean, I think we tried. I mean, we knew from the beginning when we were writing the show that we were making it for both the U.S. and Swedish market, and so kind of our process was if there was any joke that didn't work for either me, as I was representing kind of all of America in that room, or if it didn't work for any of the other Swedish writers, then we just cut it. There's maybe one or two that kind of fell through the cracks that people felt strongly about that we kept, but otherwise, all of the jokes were something that we kind of all agreed on and found funny, or the scenes that we found funny. So, I mean, of course, the danger in doing that is you're kind of left with kind of a watered down comedy, but hopefully the opposite is true, and that we kind of found something that kind of works in both places.
You can find out more on Welcome to Sweden at NBC.com and catch new episodes every Thursday on NBC.
The Point.
That does it for the podcast for right now, but when we're back, we officially begin our countdown to Comic-Con. We're covering things before the show and live from the floor as well, and you don't want to miss anything. So keep in touch at GetThePointRadio.com and take us along on your mobile device, Apple or Android, with a free app called iNet Radio. And then the podcast returns to websites like ComicVix.com and MichaelDavisWorld.com twice every week and in the iTunes podcast directory as well. We'll see you back here in a few days.
Get the